Today is the 11th Sunday after Pentecost. The scripture lessons are from Psalm 50, verses 1 through 6, and the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, verses 22 through 30. Today's message is titled, Through the Narrow Door. Psalm 50, beginning at verse 1, a psalm of Asaph. The Mighty One, God, the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to the place where it sets. From Zion, perfect in beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes and will not be silent. A fire devours before Him, and around Him a tempest rages. He summons the heavens above and the earth, that He may judge His people. Gather to me my consecrated ones, who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens proclaim His righteousness, for God Himself is judge. Selah. Here ends the first reading. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter, beginning at the 22nd verse. Then Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching as He made His way to Jerusalem. Someone asked Him, Lord, are only a few people going to be saved? He said to them, make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, Sir, open the door for us. But he will answer, I don't know you or where you come from. Then you will say, We ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets. But he will reply, I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers. There will be weeping there and gnashing of teeth. When you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves thrown out. People will come from east and west and north and south, and will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. Indeed, there are those who are last who will be first, and the first who will be last. The Gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, Thou hast given us Thy word for a light to shine upon our path. Grant us so to meditate on that word and to follow its teaching, that we may find in it the light that shines more and more until the perfect day. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Summer of 2019, so about 4 years ago, three, 4 years ago, towards the end of July, Marissa and I went down to Corbin, Kentucky to go camping for the week. We went tent camping, setting up in the Corbin, Cumberland Gap KOA for the week. We were going to explore the Red River Gorge area, the Natural Bridge State Resort Park area, and the Cumberland Gap National Park area. The picture with the Bible verse on Faith in Christ's Facebook page, perhaps some of you have seen it, it's from that trip to Kentucky. We went hiking on the trail to the Natural Bridge in Natural Bridge State Resort Park, and after walking underneath the great rock arch, on the far side is a natural staircase along with a narrow pass that was very narrow. The narrow pass was the only way to keep going forward on the trail, go through the narrow way or turn around and go back, missing out what was on the other side. On the other side, the trail continued up and around to on top of the arch, and then you walk across the arch to the other side. And on the other side, you follow the trail around the top of the rocks to an outcropping called Overlook Point. And from there, you could look back and you can see the full arch, rock arch, standing there amongst the trees. The only way to get there from the trail we started on was through the narrow way. Continuing along, the trail ends. Ah, beautiful pictures and a great view of the whole arch. This part of the path was very narrow, and there was a few that had to turn around. They just couldn't go through the narrow way. The way was just too narrow for them. Not everyone can go through the narrow way. Not everyone will go through the narrow door. Now, this is just a hiking trail in the Natural Bridge State Resort Park in Kentucky. Yet, this illustrates the reality of a narrow way, a narrow door. For there is a narrow way that the Lord Jesus Christ speaks of, and it makes all the difference between eternal life with Him in heaven or an eternal existence in that place of weeping and gnashing teeth. The narrow way is the difference between the feast in the kingdom of heaven or thrown outside forever weeping and gnashing the teeth. From our human perspective, this eternal truth, it seems harsh. Isn't the Lord the God of love? How could the God of love behave so badly by eternally locking people out where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth? Many have spoken in such fashion. Did I ask, is the Lord God behaving so badly, or is it us behaving so badly that brings about these things about when the narrow door closes? Is it not human behavior, our attitude, that leads to the place of weeping and gnashing of teeth? Is it not us, finite human beings, that are behaving so badly that leads to being locked out forever? Is blame being placed in the proper place when someone accuses the Lord God of behaving badly? Or is this blame shifting, which has been the manner of human behavior from the very beginning? In the very beginning, the Lord God comes to Adam and says, it's recorded in Genesis chapter 3, verse 11, and He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" Adam, from the get-go, tried to shift the blame. Genesis 3, verse 12. The man said, "The woman you placed here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it." Who ate? "It was the woman. She gave me some and I ate it." Next thing you know, we find Eve doing the exact same thing. Genesis chapter 3, verse 13. Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." Blame shifting. The narrow way is there, and you won't be able to shift the blame at all. The narrow way is there for us. The narrow door, as Jesus speaks of in Luke chapter 13, or describes it another time he's teaching as the narrow gate. And you find that in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 7. Luke chapter 13, beginning at verse 22. Then Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching as He made His way to Jerusalem. Someone asked Him, "Lord, are only a few people going to be saved?" The Greek word translated as teaching nearly always refers to the instructions in the Scriptures, the Holy Word of God. This Greek word is used very frequently in the New Testament showing how important the teaching of the Scriptures truly is. And it clearly demonstrates that exceedingly great importance of learning the Scriptures too. For this teaching is done solely for the purpose of others to learn the Scriptures. We teach the Scriptures so others learn the Scriptures. Jesus is now resolutely set on going to Jerusalem. Yet as he travels, he's teaching. Seems he doesn't let a moment go by that he is not teaching, instructing in the Scriptures. As he is traveling to Jerusalem to fulfill the reason he came, it is now crunch time for teaching the Scriptures. Going to Jerusalem, where Jesus knows what awaits him, betrayal and the cruelty of the cross, as he will pay the redeeming price as the holy, beloved Son of God, the sacrificial Lamb. These crowds, they need to hear his teaching as the time of teaching is coming to close. Must teach the Scriptures to the people so they can understand what will be accomplished in Jerusalem. In response to Jesus' teaching, one from the crowd calls out, "Lord, are only a few going to be saved?" That's Luke chapter 13, the first part of verse 23. Someone asked him, "Lord, are only a few people going to be saved? Are only a few rescued from the penalty and power of sin into the safety of God's provision? Only a few. Only a few." Seems like a strange question, but this question came in response to Jesus' teaching. Jesus answers that only a few saved question with these words. Luke chapter 13, beginning of verse 24. "Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to." Then Jesus followed that up with a word story that emphasizes the point he was teaching. Make every effort. I'm going to try to get this right. This Greek is sometimes, it's been so long since I took Greek, it sometimes gets me. Agonizomahi. Do you hear the word agonize in that? Agonizomahi, from which we get the English word agonize. The Greek root of that word is agon, which has an athletic context to it. An athletic contest. That's the context of agon. And it's a struggle. You're in the conflict, that athletic event. The athletic struggle is grueling and as arduous, strenuous struggle, and it's in everything. You put everything, every effort, all this energy is put in to overcome and win because this struggle is happening in your soul. You put everything to overcome and win. All energy, all focus, all effort to win. And what is your going for? To go through the narrow door. The phrase "to enter in" is one word in the Greek which has a figurative meaning that to enter in is for an important purpose. That is the reason you enter in. I mean, it's like you're at home and you walk into a room. And now as I get older, I walk into the room and I go, "Now, what did I come in here for?" You probably experienced that. But you've entered the room for a purpose. That's why you're going through the narrow door. It's for a purpose, to enter in. It's an important purpose, a very specific and significant reason to enter in. And it's enter through the narrow. Enter through the narrow. Narrow. This Greek word for narrow is used only three times in the New Testament. Here in Luke chapter 13 for the narrow door, and Matthew chapter 7, the narrow gate and the narrow road. The way this word is used, narrow means the closely defined path God has set forth. in His Word and by His plans. It's the way God has set to walk. Turning to Matthew chapter 7, this narrow is contrasted with the wide. So Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 13. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life. And only a few find it. Matthew 7, the contrast between narrow and wide and broad, it's set forth by Jesus. And the contrast is between life and destruction. Narrow is the way to life. Wide and broad is the way to destruction. What do you desire for yourself? Life or destruction? Want life? The narrow gate, the narrow road, the narrow door is the one and only way to go through. The only way set forth and defined by the Lord our God. Yet our human nature, depraved from the fall, pushes back against the narrow way of the Lord God. We want to set our own rules. We want to do what feels right and feels good. We want to decide what is good and what is wrong. And these days, this has become so insane, the words of the prophet echo even more loudly in their truth. From Isaiah chapter 5, verses 20 and 21. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. I could go on and on and on from newspaper headlines of the insanity of what's going on in today's world. Jesus gives us this word picture, almost a parable, but not quite a parable. It's a word story. Luke chapter 13, beginning of verse 25. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, "Sir, open the door for us." But he will answer, "I don't know you or where you came from." Then you will say, "We ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets." But he will reply, "I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers." What has Jesus been doing during his years of wandering ministry? Taught the people in the streets. What else has Jesus been doing in all those years as a wandering rabbi? Ate and drank with them. Do you see in these few words, Jesus is telling the people what he has been doing these past few years, and they have not listened. They have not learned from his teaching. When the door closes, the door closes. There are not a multitude of doors that when a door is closed and locked, one can just go around the corner to another door to get in. It's not the case at all. There is one door, only one door. And that door is narrow. So pay attention and diligently, with all your ability and all your effort, go through that door, the narrow door. And go through that one and only narrow door. There is only one door. And an exclusive door. There are no others. And Jesus is speaking of himself. The narrow way, the narrow gate, the narrow road is himself. Jesus the Christ, the Lord. Jesus said, John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." The Lord God has made this. The Lord God has done this. And the Lord God does not need to consult us for our feelings or our opinion about the one narrow door. The Lord is God. And be thankful. Yes, be thankful there is a door. Though it's narrow, be thankful there is even a door for us to go through. No matter how narrow the door is, rejoice. There is a door to enter through. The only way through is Christ Jesus the Lord. It's a matter of salvation. Remember the question posed to the Lord? Lord, are only a few people going to be saved? A theological debate could begin about the numbers of people being saved. Jesus turns the question. He doesn't directly answer the question given to him. Rather, Jesus turns the question, as he often does when he's asked a question. He turns the question, and he turns it to bring forth another question. He turns the question from only a few going to be saved, turns it from the numbers, the theological debate about numbers, to what about you? He personalizes it. What about you? It's an individual. You, as an individual person loved of God, what are you going to do? Don't think about the numbers. Think about yourself. Make sure you are one of those who are saved. Salvation is a matter of the individual. You don't inherit it. You don't earn it. It's a gift about you, each one of you. Each person, each individual must come. Each one must be the one that strives, that makes every effort to enter through the narrow door. You be the one striving. You be the one making every effort to enter through the narrow door. The love of God has given us the narrow door to go through, such that, it's written in Luke chapter 13, verse 29, people will come from east and west and north and south and will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. The phrase, people will come, is one word in the Greek, which root means, I have come, I am present, I have arrived. But the meaning is much deeper and much greater in depth. May this illustrate it. While down in Kentucky, Marissa and I went to the Cumberland Gap National Park. We hiked up the trail to the Cumberland Gap. And for me, it was amazing to stand in that place that I read about in history and I learned about in history class. To stand in that place where hundreds of thousands traveled, seeking a better life, a new life in the Kentucky lands, oftentimes carrying all they had on their backs or pushing it in a cart, traveling the narrow way through the Cumberland Gap to a new life. We, Marissa and I, continued along the trail up to the place where the three states come together. Now, the previous summer out west, it was a cloudy, overcast day when we were camping outside of Mesa Verde. So instead of driving those winding, narrow roads up to Mesa Verde, we decided, well, let's go over to Four Corners. And so we drove out into the middle of nowhere, and we decided to go in those four corners so we could stand in the four states at once. Have you done that, stand in the four states? You get down to your hands and knees and hand in one state, hand in another state, foot in one state, foot in another state. Done that? We've done that, and we got at the right time. We were before the crowd. After us, the crowd came, and you had to wait your turn. They even have a sign that said, don't take forever. But we took pictures there. So we'd done the four corners. Well, now we're going to do the three corners. So Marissa and I went up to the three corners there. So we stood in Virginia, Tennessee, and Kentucky all at once. We arrived at our destination. Our destination, our goal. That's what that Greek word means. I have arrived. I have come. You have reached your goal. I've arrived. You're at your goal. That Greek word, I have come and present, have arrived, properly means to reach the end, reach your destination, the end destination. And for us, Luke chapter 13, verse 29, that end destination is the feast. The feast in the kingdom of God. The ultimate end and final destination is the feast. The feast in the kingdom of God. That's the reason to make every effort to strive through the narrow door, is to arrive at that feast which goes on forever and ever and ever in the kingdom of God. This is the wonder and joy that a feast is prepared for us in the kingdom of God, with the way to arrive through the narrow door of Jesus Christ the Lord. The Greek is interesting here. The Greek word translated in the English as feast, it really means recline. The better word is recline. But to recline, it means to recline at a table for a feast. So use the word feast there is appropriate, but you come in and recline in the kingdom of God. You come in for that feast. You don't do the serving. You receive. You receive the feast. It's amazing. This feast, it's by grace. It is there by grace. By grace, a feast is waiting for us who strive to enter through the narrow door. So strive through the narrow door. Or as Paul described it in his letter to Philippians, beginning Philippians 2, verse 12. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Do you hear that? Work it out. In other words, put effort into it. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So you put the effort in, you run the race, you persevere, and you don't weary or lose heart. Or 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning of verse 24. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. So you see why it is good to enter through the narrow door. Don't stand before the narrow door looking at it saying, oh, what will I do? Stand there and stare at the narrow door and then start complaining. You know it's too narrow. No, the door should be wider. I should be able to bring... Will you say it's too small? Will you say it's too exclusive? There is no justice in it being so narrow. For justice, you need to make it wider, right? And there's no looking side to side. Well, what about him or what about her? Standing before that narrow door. See how they're living? Or see how they're living? That's why the door should be wider. Or will you strive to enter through the narrow door of Jesus Christ, just as the grace of God has opened it for you? Will you repent and believe, and then live the faith daily by loving God and loving neighbor, making real in daily life the Ten Commandments the Lord God has given us? Or in other words, throw off everything that hinders you and keeps you from entering through the narrow door. Now, this sounds a lot like works. Works will save you. No, not at all. It is by grace you have been saved through faith, the gift of faith. The narrow door is there before you. difficult to go through, yet the redeeming grace of Christ through the work on the cross bids you come. The grace of God through the redeeming work of Christ on the cross bids you come through the narrow door. Will you throw aside your pride? Will you throw aside all the excuses? Will you throw aside your love of the things of this world with its lusts, envy, and sin? Will you throw them all aside as the grace of God through the narrow door bids you to come? The narrow door is there. It's open. It has not yet been closed. There is no fee to pay. That has been paid in full by Christ on the cross. So the narrow door stands open. It's open. And it invites all to come from all directions. East, north, west, south. All can come. Enter through the narrow door. Enter through Christ. And receive life. Life. Eternal life in Christ. It's all by grace. The redeeming grace of your great Redeemer, Jesus Christ the Lord, has done this for you. Enter through the narrow door of Christ, and you will land safe on Canaan's side. That's your ultimate destination. That's where you want to be, on Canaan's side, in the promised land of the kingdom of God, where you will be singing praises forevermore. Singing praises forevermore. So enter through the narrow gate and look to the feast that is yours set before you. It is all by grace. You will be on Canaan's land side, and you will sing God's praises forevermore. Amen and amen.